Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom Davis. On the banjo is Larry's brother, and right next to me is Larry Glass, our expert. How you doing there, Larry?
Tom, good morning. Good to see you, guy.
Great to see you, and thank you very much for the plum jelly.
Oh, yeah, it's a good year for plum jelly. We actually got out of our six fruit trees, we got one to actually bear some fruit this year.
Well, at least they didn't get, you know,
that is good stuff.
Smashed by hail like it did a couple years ago.
Anyway, 2021 was a good year for plum jelly.
Indeedy.
Yeah, we planted those on our 25th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Yes, 15 years ago, so still producing.
Still producing.
You bet. Anyway, golly, we're in a kind of a transitionary period right now, and seasonally, if you will.
Yeah.
You guys can't seem to let go of summer. What's the matter with you? What, 99 degrees today? Come on.
It was good all week. Next thing you know, you got 2 days in the mid-90s, and now we got like all hell.
Next week, we'll be in flannels.
We got all kinds of thunderstorms coming up tomorrow night, so you know it'll be just all kinds of fun.
That's definitely going to be welcome, because we've got a whole bunch of trees to plant next week.
I hope we don't get any hail with all this.
See, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. We got about 15 trees to plant on Tuesday.
Yep.
So that's going to help a lot.
Loosen up the soil.
Yeah, we can at least dig the soil. And
quit breaking them shovels.
These past few weeks, the ground has been so hard.
I bet.
And I've broken all my metal shovels. Nothing left, but we got some that have actually a flexible handle, and they're holding up pretty good.
Your vendor loves you, doesn't he?
Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of the way it is. We use picks, and one time we just had to hire a backhoe on one project. It was just too tough.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, it's that bad. So anyway, the ground is warm, the air is cool, so it's prime time for fall planting. And we have a caller?
Yep.
All right.
And good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or comment for Larry?
Good morning. Enjoy you guys' show.
Thank you.
I was wondering, what trees and shrubs do you fertilize this time of year? I've got oak, pine, crepe myrtles, azaleas, hydrangeas, peach tree.
Yeah, on those, you want to refrain from the hydrangeas. You don't want to spur on a lot of growth. And azaleas, typically fertilize azaleas in the spring before they bloom. And maybe two more light applications after that. You don't really want to spur a lot of growth on that, because we have a long, hard winter coming ahead of us. Trees are okay to do right now. I would refrain from boxwoods, too. That's the last thing you want right now, is some fresh growth on the boxwoods. So basically, your deciduous trees would be a good thing to plant right now. And your deciduous shrubs, your crepe myrtle wouldn't hurt any from fertilization. They're kind of shut down anyway. So, but try to refrain from hydrangeas and azaleas and your spring blooming things like that.
Okay, what about like a holly or
holly plants,
a shrub?
Holly plants, I like to just kind of let them slow down a little bit right now. I don't want to spur on a lot of growth. And then in the spring, you can get them with a holly-type fertilizer, something with some iron sulfate in it, and they'll do okay.
Okay, well, just out of curiosity, why is it good to fertilize a tree right now?
It helps them use a high phosphorus type fertilizer, and it helps them with the root system throughout the winter. The root is relatively warm, and the root system is still growing and developing underground. So that's one reason why.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thanks for calling.
And you can always be the next caller at 1-800-749-5936.
Yeah, a spring on certain plants, a spring and fall fertilization is good. On some plants, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like evergreen plants, I really don't like to fertilize them in the fall.
They don't.
Because, golly, we could have a warm spell in November.
Ew.
And they'll start to grow.
They will.
And
We've been known to have warm spells in November.
I've seen this with boxwood plants. People trim them late in the fall, and they fertilize them, water them real good and all that. Then they grow, and that tender growth, when it gets cold, dies back. And you have this rather dead-looking appearance on the surface of your boxwood leaves, too. So you just kind of want to refrain from that, because they don't have much knowledge of what's happening with the earth.
No, they don't. They're just there.
So, and they, let's grow. It's warm. So kind of cool it on that. A ewes also. You fertilize your ewes in the spring, too.
Yeah.
Because, anyway, they're hardy evergreens. Okay, now, anyway, the ground is warm, the air is cool, prime time for fall planting. Remember to prepare that soil properly. You can plant cool season annuals like pansies, ornamental cabbage and kale. Mm-hmm. They do very well here going into the winter. And I do want to emphasize soil preparation. I know that's kind of hard right now because our soil is a lot like the stuff we drive on at this point.
Yes.
So you really have to work at it to get it to go. And somebody was running their tiller and it just bounces off the ground.
That's bad.
Now, after the rain comes up, our soil typically is not really that as bad as it is right now. So typically it's
workable usually, yeah. But right now it's just like rock.
Yeah. Now, if you do want to plant something, you might want to go ahead and, of course, I wouldn't worry about irrigating. It's going to rain tomorrow. But you might want to set the hose on the ground, let it run real slow for mm-hmm. a while to get some water down in the soil so you can break it up a little bit too.
Make it easier to absorb when it really does rain instead of just run off.
Yeah. So anyway, with the upcoming rain, hopefully it'll go down at least 2 inches and make it easier. Oh, golly. In addition to that, you can plant fall mums and things like that right now. Pansies, great time to plant the pansies. We have sold just a bucket load of pansies so far this year. Mm-hmm. And it's getting time to get those in the ground. Now, if you do have some annuals you don't want to part with, you can take out maybe some of the annuals and put some pansies in between. So you still have some annual color. The begonias are really popping out right now. This is their kind of weather, mm-hmm. This cooler nights and so on like this. Uh-huh. And the last week, they've really just bloomed out. And people hate to pull them up right at their peak. So what do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do? You either trim them back and maybe put some pansies in between, or take out not all of them, but some of them, and plant the pansies in between. And after we've had a good freeze, the begonias turn into mush, and the pansies will begin to grow out and fill in too. So. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do without them. Another thing you can do is go ahead and plant ahead on that. And I taught this to a customer of mine. You just don't solid fill. You plant them in groups and clusters and have a little space in between on your annual plantings. And then that'll let you maybe put something in later that you really wanted to put in but you didn't.
Uh-huh.
Or it leaves room for a fall planting of something, and that'll grow and fill in and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. So think the fourth dimension. What's going to happen in October, November? What's going to happen when you plant your flowers in March and April?
Got it.
So, okay. Time also to plant some fall mums. We have some really nice looking big old mum plants too. So keep them watered during the dry spells. Make sure to, when you do plant the mum, that you water it real heavily when you initially plant it. Just so its root system can take advantage of the surrounding moisture in the surrounding soil, because they're all right there in that little area. Uh-huh. And also, before it gets really cold, you want to mulch them over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They're mums are hardy plants over here, but the first year they need just a little bit of help to survive the winter. So after they're done blooming, and you cut them back and all that, you might want to get some mulch on them just to keep them from drying out in the winter. And the winter months are our driest time of the year. It's when we had the least amount of precipitation in December and January and so on, when it's coldest, typically.
Typically. We're going to scratch last February.
Really? So anyway,
that's
you
a want one-off.
So you want to make sure that they're prepared and all that right now. The Chinese pistachio are just barely beginning to show some fall color. Mm-hmm. And so good time to plant shrubs and move most of your perennials. You can plant the spring bulbs. And if you happen to dig up your daffodil bulbs or something, they can just be replanted. They'll be all right.
Okay.
And they're in doing our various diggings, I've run into them now and then. and the roots are starting to grow on them. They're getting ready to brace for winter and spring coming up. So they're wait for the big show. So if you do happen to dig up your fall bulb or spring bulb, just put them back in the ground. They'll be all right.
Very good.
So if you don't have your beds ready, after the rain, maybe it's a good time to do that. Or if you don't irrigate, it'd be. Mm. Most people water their beds up front. Ground's not that bad.
They do.
So anyway, you can plant shrubs right now too. Good time to plant your dwarf nandinas, dwarf yopons, boxwoods. Some plants we'll talk about later on in the show too.
Okay.
But it's a good time to plant shrubs. The reason why is because the ground is relatively warm. And the atmosphere is going to get cooler and be more favorable for growing. So they will, the root system will establish real well when the ground temperature is warm like it is right now. So it's, that's one reason why fall is such a good time to plant trees and shrubs. Okay?
And that's why you're going to be so busy you won't be able to remember what you're
Oh, I can't. Like. I don't even know my, I don't even know my name sometimes. We just... So anyway, always add compost, maybe a little fertilizer, depending on the type of shrub,
mm-hmm.
and water it in real well. Yeah. Right now you want to make sure to water your stuff that you planted when the ground is dry like this, because diffusion, it'll just pull the water right out. And that plant will be the first thing to dry up because all the roots are trying to feed the top too. So you got the tree using the water and the ground soaking up the water when you're on dry ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to watch your watering very carefully. And I tell people just to put the hose on it real slow, let it trickle for a bit.
Got it.
Rather than just putting a little on the surface. You have to let it percolate down into the soil for mm-hmm. it to work well. So just a slow watering like that is better.
Very good.
In the morning. Don't do it in the afternoon.
No, don't put that hot water on there.
Exactly. Okay, we got a... Oh, we got a caller.
I do believe so.
I think so.
Yeah, and if you want to get on with us, it's 1-800-749-5936. Good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question, please.
Good morning to you. I have a question.
Yep.
I seen a video here a while back on those YouTube videos. Now, this does pertain to gardening, so don't misunderstand. But they're showing how you take a walnut, open the end of it just a little bit, prop it open with a couple of toothpicks, put that end down in a glass of water, and it would take root from there, and then you could plant it. Is that a good method, or is that...
I'm not overly familiar with growing walnuts from seed. But I guess if it's on YouTube, it's true.
Okay.
So what about pecans?
I wanted to grow pecans from seed.
Uh-huh.
What about native pecans from seed, okay?
Yeah.
Of course, the squirrels do a good job of planting some, but
yes.
They don't always work.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I would do. If you want to put a pecan tree in a certain area, I wouldn't plant just one. I'd probably put several of them in the ground. And then may the best man win on that one.
So it's just kind of a hit or miss. You put a few in the ground, hope they stay there, and hope they grow.
Yeah, and keep the best one. Yeah, now pecans, they develop a very, very heavy taproot when they sprout. So they're very difficult to transplant once they come up. So you want to make sure you've got exactly where you want it. They're difficult to move. And actually, when they come up, they've already got a rather tenacious taproot when they come up from the top. So because of that, they're difficult to start in pots and put in the ground. So.
Well, I know you can buy pecan trees like at your nursery.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, somewhere they've had to start these things from a seed and go from there.
Oh, yeah. It's just putting them in a container and just put them in a big long row, and whatever comes up the best is the one you sell, and you start again with the others. I mean, it's... A simple, basic, just, you know, putting in the seed in the ground and letting it come up, essentially.
Well, I thought about trying that with a walnut thing. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And I won't.
It's similar to...
pecans, if I was to try to start them like the walnut seed, like in a cup of water in the house,
yeah,
to get the seed to start before I put it in the ground, what would you think of that?
That would be favorable, but I would probably put it in between maybe two layers of a moist paper towel rather than submerge it in water, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you crack the hole first or just put it in there?
Cracking the hole won't hurt it. It might accelerate the germination process, but it won't hurt it to crack it at all, no.
Okay. All right. Well, I think I'll play with it a little bit.
I'd go ahead and try different methods rather than a single method. Maybe get a pot of soil and put one in there and perhaps use it in some wet paper towels and maybe do the YouTube thing and just see which works best for you. I mean, yeah.
Well, because I was always told that in the pecans, the freezing process is what cracks the hole for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what I was told. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah. I'm not overly familiar with planting pecans, but it seems logical that if the shell were cracked, the moisture would get in there, would stimulate it to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I might try some of both, just play with them and see what happens.
Sure.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, go ahead and report back and on your success, and maybe we can inform people and about the best way to sprout pecans.
There we go. Good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Hello.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Tom.
Howdy.
Hey, I bought some elephant ears from you, Larry, this summer, and I put them in great big pots.
Yeah.
When do you put those inside? Is it the first freeze or is it before the freeze?
Yeah, the first nip. It'll get probably 31.25 degrees or something, and that'll kill them back. Then you just chop them off and put them in the garage or somewhere. Somewhere where it stays relatively cool.
Oh, do you want to chop them off?
Yeah, from the top dead, yeah, when that which freezes, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to bring them in our mud room and just leave the leaves on them.
If you've got a room that's plenty of light and all that, sure. Yeah, they can go ahead and keep going. Now, that bulb is getting larger, too, so you might want to consider potting it into a larger container.
Oh, I've got them in the biggest containers you had down there, the big orange.
Okay, great. So, yeah, that's fine. Then it should last quite some time in that. But, go ahead and bring them in. Enjoy them in the house or in your sunroom. They'll be a good
addition.
They'll make a nice presence there in the sunroom.
All right, very good.
All right, thank you.
All right, great hearing from you. Thank you very much. And we've got to take a break. Right now it is 8:25. The union gets a little, but you know how you go. It's 8:25. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. One of our greatest advantages is that we do know people. We are local. Yes, we've got corporate buying power and corporate leverage, but you know, we're going to be at the local grocery store. We're going to be at the local ball games. We live here. We've got kids in school here. You know, we're going to see you again. We are here to find out what people's needs are. We're here to take care of their needs and to do it at a competitive price. We're up here on the southeast corner of Highway 60 and 75, 3801 No Water Road. Road, United Reynolds.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for fall. Just in time for fall planting, you'll find new shipments of pansies, mums, and flowering kale. And they also have fall arrivals of trees and shrubs. And right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband Mark was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
All righty. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. And welcome. 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 We're back with our Green Country Gardener program. And we saw a lot of cars.
Yeah, a lot of old cars going down. That's great.
Yeah. Water Rock, in case folks are, it's long after the show. It's at 10 o'clock.
Some of those cars are newer than my truck.
these vehicles you've been seeing are from the 20s and 30s.
Well, no, mine's not that old. But anyway.
It's close.
Yeah.
But yours is well taken care of, and the cars are too. So if you're seeing a bunch of cars zipping through southern Kansas and northern Oklahoma today, they're
That's
running out to Willow Rock.
Show out there at Willow Rock.
Yes.
Speaking of elephant ears.
Yep. Hey,
I had some planted, a few of them planted in the back.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Some alocasias, too, and some colocasias.
Yep.
And I forgot all about them. So what do I do? There's a bed out back, and I tilled it up with a tiller. not forgetting that the bulbs were there.
Oh, good. It didn't bounce all over the place, did it?
No, it was moist at that time.
Okay, good.
Then I leveled it out really good and planted a few flowers here and there. And all of a sudden, all these elephant ears came up everywhere.
Everywhere.
I have a thicket of elephant ears.
Roll Tide.
A testament to the durability. Uh-huh. Even after all that cold, these alocasias, and there's a purple one, a purple elephant ears uh-huh. coming up everywhere. It's taken pretty much all summer for them to really develop a new bulb and all that.
But, wow.
But I was amazed that it came back. And then my elephant ears back behind the outdoor kitchen area where we've got the smoker and the grill and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They're 6 feet tall.
Wow, that's...
These cannas are huge out there, too. Yeah. So a little drip system helped keep him going.
That kept going really well.
Anyway, so they survived pretty well. I was afraid I'd lose all my cannas, but they came back really rather robustly.
Good.
So things can survive that cold. And I didn't make any effort to water them in the winter.
You have the greatest luck.
But they just came back up. So... And, golly, birdhouse gourds, I've got a lot of them this year. Mm-hmm. I planted some. They're up in the trees and whatnot.
Having fun with them.
I got some of them that are 20 feet up there. So, can't wait to climb the trees in the winter to pick those. You have to wait till December. They have to dry up on the vine.
Yeah.
For better luck. So, I did that one time. People said, what is that up there? I said, those are birdhouse gourds. Oh. I didn't know trees. No, it's not from the tree. It's a vine that grows in there.
It's a vine that grows on the tree. Yeah.
So anyway, so I had good luck with birdhouse gourds this year, as well as plums and prunes mm-hmm. and so on. So anyway, at the nursery this week, we've got a great selection of pansies, some kale, lots of new mums, great uh-huh. big old mums. They're they're only about $20.
Yeah. They're really nice.
Competition has smaller ones for $25, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, they're really nice looking plants. and right now it's a good time to think about maybe dividing some perennials. Daylilies, iris, and other spring flowering perennials can be divided right now. They say you can divide peonies, but I kind of like to wait to do those in February, March. And same with hostas, I like to wait till about that time mm-hmm. too to divide those perennials because they grow and develop real quickly in the spring. And if you break them up like that, they'll have a better chance of healing up before insects and disease can get into the bulb.
Got it.
So you might want to, some of them you want to do in the...
springtime, or spring, late fall, late winter.
Yeah, late winter, early spring.
It all goes together.
In your lawn right now, you want to continue to replant and establish cool season grasses such as fescue.
Uh-huh.
We've got some good weather coming up this week. Put down some grass seed this afternoon or tomorrow. It'll wind up down in the river, make it nice and green with all the rain.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to rain that much. So.
No.
But anyway, it'd be a good idea to get that ground ready.
You'll have a lot of bluster and some rain.
And the mowing height for your fescue should be about 2.5 inches right now for fall and winter cutting. Mm-hmm. You can go a little bit lower in the wintertime and late fall and winter. When it starts to cool down, you can lower uh-huh. it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it has some people really like that close mode look to your lawn. But anyway, that can, not right now. It's a little mm-hmm. yet. Right now, on your Bermuda grass, you want to mow it not too low, but normal, and do a nice edging and just kind of finish it out real nice, get it ready for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first killing frost will be here in 6 weeks.
Okay.
Into November, typically around Thanksgiving.
Got it.
No, Halloween. That's right. That's 2 weeks away.
Ooh.
Yeah. So typically Halloween is when the big freeze comes.
And yeah.
So don't dethatch the Bermuda grass. Don't scalp it. It needs that layer of
protection,
insulation for the winter. So just keep it the normal height.
Yeah.
But you might consider just make. God, there goes some more of these cards. Look at them. Wow. So that's going to be quite a show.
Yeah, it is.
It's a cavalcade. My goodness. Suddenly, it's 1927.
It looks like they're filming that Killers of the Flower Moon over here. From the 20s.
So anyway, kind of the same thing applies for zoysia grass as it does Bermuda. Although the zoysia is a little more cold-hardy than the Bermuda grass. So you can probably keep it cut a little bit lower than the Bermuda grass at this point if you mm-hmm. want to. It's also time to install fescue seed, but the time is going to run out pretty soon. Typically, the Columbus Day is the kind of the end date for that.
Yeah.
And that's coming up right soon here.
Monday.
Well, that's, yeah. Actually, it's the 12th. But,
yeah.
So.
Tell that to the bank.
Oh. Well, you can bank online. I mean.
I know.
But anyway. So you want to get after the fescue establishment at this point. And the other varieties of fescue, we kind of like Five Star the best.
Mm-hmm.
It gives a good cross-section of texture,
you know, yep.
Appearance texture. So you get a little better density with the different varieties in there, some low-growing, some high-growing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So you put it at a rate of, I think 4 pounds per.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many square feet. We got a chart at the nursery, but anyway. Measure your square footage because the grass seed is expensive this year. And make sure you know how much square footage you have so you don't buy too much.
Uh-huh.
And because it is kind of high. They had droughts in Oregon. The price went up a little bit this year. So anyway, so get your square footage in. Also, you want to fertilize that too. It is prime time to fertilize the fescue grass. It's growing like, you know, like crazy with the cooler weather, and it really needs that to get it going. And I see a lot of people with fescue lawns, and they got little green spots here and there where the dog frequents and whatever. And that's kind of a sign they might need a little fertilizer on it.
Yeah, just a touch.
So now's the time to fertilize that. So anyway, fescue seed, first of all, any kind of soil type. You need to identify your soil type. Under which the fescue is going to be planted. And it'll grow in pretty much any kind, but it won't grow in heavy clay.
No, it doesn't work well.
There are some areas where the bulldozers went through or something, and it's just like Mars. And it's difficult for it to grow in that condition.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you want to do some ground prep.
Indeed. Always have to work the dirt.
Yeah, compost does a very good job of that. So if your shovel just kind of bounces when you put it in the ground, you might want to consider doing some ground preparation prior to planting the seeds.
Got it.
Because the seeds, they can go into the soil, but the soil has to be loose for them to do that.
Indeed, they can't go anywhere.
No, they really can't. And you'll have this very thin veneer of roots on the ground, just kind of skimming across the top. And then when it gets really hot I've seen this a lot. They don't have a root system developed. They're just skimming across that, and it dies.
You don't want that.
Because it overheats. It can't get moisture. So, anyway, so get that ground ready and all that, and you should be able to at least jump on your shovel at this point.
Yep. If not, wait till Monday.
Yeah. Wait till Monday, yeah. And the soil shouldn't really clump. In other words, do the drop test. If there is a certain degree of moisture in your soil, put it in a bit of a ball, if you will. And drop it on the ground from hip high, and it should shatter. And if it just kind of goes clunk like a wad of bread dough, then you need to amend the soil with perhaps some compost so it does get aerate, so it does aerate real well. Grass will not grow in an anaerobic soil situation.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break so we can kind of make up for some of our car watching time, Larry.
Okie
doke. We'll be right back after this 2-minute timeout.
You and Dewey's Fall Sale, and you can pick up some great bargains. Check out the Fiskars 7-foot to 14-foot pole saw and pruner for $49.99. Stop raking leaves and get a leaf blower. Peters has their Toro Power Sweep electric mower for $39.99. Plant your flower bed with 15-count Tulip Royal Flush or Daffodil Double Blend, just $9.97 each. And get a 6-quart bag of Miracle-Gro Indoor Potting Mix for $30.99 after instant in-store rebate. But only at Peters True Value in Dewey.
Every year, millions of Americans use opioids to manage pain. Pain can be unrelenting, overwhelming, and all-consuming. So why do so many of us try to manage pain only from the palm of our hands? Doctor-prescribed opioids are appropriate in some cases, but they just mask the pain. And reliance on opioids has led to the worst drug crisis in American history. That's why the CDC recommends safer alternatives, like physical therapy, to manage pain. Physical therapists treat pain through movement, hands-on care, and patient education, no warning labels required. And by increasing physical activity, you can also reduce your risk of other chronic diseases. Pain is personal, but treating pain takes teamwork. When it comes to your health, you have a choice. Choose more movement and better health. Choose physical therapy. Visit moveforwardpt.com to find a physical therapist in your area. This message is brought to you by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Open calendar. What's my schedule looking like?
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an emergency flash flood between Park and First Street.
What? No, that doesn't work. I'm busy then. Decline. Decline.
Floods don't exactly work around your schedule. Disasters don't plan ahead. But you can. It starts with talking to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. So don't wait. Communicate. Visit oem.ok.gov. Brought to you by the Oklahoma Department of Emergency Management, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. 1-800-749-5936. That is our number. You'll get your questions answered by somebody who knows something, and that would be Larry. I'm Tom. I just operate the switches. What
sure.
You got there, Larry?
Anyway, we talked about planting fescue seed. But lawn weeds. That's kind of bothers a lot of people, weeds in the lawn. And probably...
you mean like those knee-highs across the street?
Oh, my God, Linda. One of the best ways to keep weeds under control is to have a healthy lawn.
Yeah, it drowns out the weeds.
Exactly.
Chokes them.
And you fertilize your Bermuda grass on a monthly basis.
Yep.
To keep its health up, to keep the density up on that. And that helps a whole lot.
Yeah.
And keep it, fairly well watered. And you need to develop a little bit of tolerance for just occasional crabgrass here and there. Uh-huh. Or one or two dandelions. It's not the end of the world.
No.
Anyway.
But it could be.
So anyway, at this time of the year, what we need to do is think about using pre-emergent herbicides on the lawn.
Uh-huh.
Now, there are several types of pre-emergent herbicides, and you just need to pick whichever the one you find more comfortable with applying.
Indeed.
Such as either a spray type or a granular type. Those are the two types typically that you put on there. The spraying type requires a great deal of proportioning, getting the proportion right, not putting down too much, because on typical herbicides, too much is somewhat of a toxic condition to the soil. If you overapply herbicides, you can actually sterilize the soil.
Want that.
Where nothing grows.
Nothing!
Then get to know a concrete contractor real well. But anyway, so the proper application of a pre-emergent herbicides at this point in time will be a good hedge against weeds coming up in the spring, such as the henbit and the chickweed and the dandelions. And those are the three common ones. And some of the other types, the Poa annua, will be up pretty soon, too. So you need to get after it at this point in time. We're at this prime time, people. Ground floor opportunity. The weather's going to be good today. We've got a little bit of rain coming in, so you can put a granular prodiamine down, and it'll do a whole lot to control those weeds. Now, I say a whole lot. You get control. It's not an absolute. There are going to be some survivors that'll find their way through. So that's where what I mentioned previously, developing just a little bit of tolerance for just one or two here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can hire it out, and you're still going to have a few weeds too. So anyway, so pre-emergent herbicides, there's several of them out there. You pick out whichever one you think will work the best. Read the label very carefully. Find out what weeds they control. Typically, the ones that are for sale now are the ones that will be effective against the henbit and the chickweed. Now, don't worry about the crabgrass right now. We do that in the spring. Another application of pre-emergent herbicide in the spring for crabgrass.
Got it.
So that's not to worry. I don't even worry about it right now. It's up and coming. I went to the mailbox, and I just kicked a couple of them out of the ground. I had my boots on.
They just went over.
Them, threw them out in the street.
Uh-huh. You know? Away, I say.
So, yeah, get out of my yard. But anyway, so don't worry about the crabgrass now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come up till it gets hot. But the cool season stuff, all we need is just a few nights of cool weather, and bingo, they start to grow. And really, you really can't see them when they first come up. They're real small, and they stay kind of small in between the grass blades where you really can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as they get that signal in middle of February, first little worm spill here and there, they start to grow. And then we have this big sea of purple. The lawnmower clogging grass, choking out weeds. So, so anyway, so ground floor opportunity right now.
There you go.
So, okay, that leads us to the tree of the week.
Yep.
Which is the lacebark elm.
Okay.
And this is one of my favorites. The lacebark incorporates a wide variety of different physiology of elm tree. You know, shapes and sizes, growths of trees, too. But anyway, the lacebark, Ulmus parvifolia, it can reach 40 to 60 feet tall when it gets mature. It has basically pest-free foliage and kind of attractive glossy green leaves.
There you go.
It sometimes has a good yellow fall color and has some attractive red fruit, I guess. I don't know that you can make plum jelly.
Well, I was going to say, you might be working.
But we're using this from a technical reference anyway. It's a little reddish fruit on it. And another thing I like about this plant is it has exceptional brownish and orange mottled bark.
Yep.
It doesn't have that at first. When it first grows up, the Chinese elm or lacebark elm doesn't have that when it's young. It's kind of a nondescript bark. But then its roots take place and it starts to really grow and that bark exfoliates.
Kind of like a sign of maturity for that tree.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
But anyway, the old bark exfoliates off because it can't expand. And then you get this mottled, almost camo-looking bark to it.
Kind of a cool look.
Yeah, yeah, cool-looking bark. Yeah.
Stylish tree.
It's a... You want to, as it grows up, it has. You want to prune out the narrow forks. In other words, as the branch, the association of the branch, if it's at an acute angle, you want to cut off that. Acute meaning, say, in this case, less than, say, 20 degrees or so. When the branch comes up, it has a tendency to grow as well as the trunk, and then the bark won't adhere to itself. And it develops a weak joint at that point.
Okay.
So you want to make sure it has not really a tightly acute angle to the branching coming out. And while they're young, they grow and develop quickly, so it might be a little misshapen at first, but it'll be stronger in the long run. I did that to my Chinese pistache that I dug up out of the backyard and planted it, and it had a fork in it, and I cut it off, and it looked like... it was listing about 25 degrees starboard toward the west. You know? But it straightened up and it grew right now, and the trunk is as straight as can be. And you can still see a tiny little bend in the trunk where that other branch was, but it's not really noticeable. So it's growing, it'll grow out of that. So while they're young, you want to make sure you get off to a good pruning start and all that. So with a little irrigation and some fertilization, this tree will grow really quite moderate, if you will. It doesn't really grow super fast, but it doesn't grow super slow either. It's kind of a moderate growing one. And it forms this low rounded mop head, if you will, with maturity. I do like the branching structure on this one too. It's really quite nice. So it does, produce a lot of seeds, which tend to come up everywhere. But if you use your bag on your mower, when the seeds fall, it pick up most of them.
You'll be in good shape.
So I'd be all right. And and this one here tends to grow where other trees will survive. We've used this for street trees in compositions here and there. And places where nothing else will grow, it seems to do just fine. So, anyway, it's native to North and Central China, Korea, and Japan, and many of the new cultivars have been developed from strains found in these countries. They've crossbred them and all that to get desirable effects of these trees. So, it's a good tree to have. It has a moderate root system. It does tend to be a little shallow in some places where there's a lot of erosion. The root system tends to be exposed somewhat. So you want to keep it pruned up so the grass will grow underneath it. There is a variety called Bosque Elm, which has more of an upright growth habit, which will permit the growth of grass around it.
Good.
So that's one you might want to consider getting if you want an elm tree of some kind. What I like about these are the leaves are so small and they decompose quickly. So
you don't have to worry about them too much.
Yeah, you just kind of take the leaf blower and kind of
low maintenance,
blow them in the beds or something, or in the neighbor's yard, and even though you get in trouble there.
Yeah.
But anyway, they decompose quickly and they're not as much of a nuisance.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for fall. Just in time for fall planting, you'll find new shipments of pansies, mums, and flowering kale. And they also have fall arrivals of trees and shrubs. And right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, National Service Officers.
We've got an entire generation of men and women who have seen war. They're going to need voices.
Paralyzed Veterans of America represents them.
Changing lives, building futures. That's Paralyzed Veterans of America. To learn more, visit pva.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I must be your better. No, we can't do that. It's early. It's our Oktoberfest music there.
Your bet, yeah.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program. It's the beer garden, I guess. I need better.
All that, and I don't even drink beer. So.
And neither do I. My doctor has a problem with that.
Okay, Brassica oleracea. Brassica oleracea.
You don't say.
That's the flowering cabbage. Yeah. And kale, too.
Yeah.
The flowering cabbage and kale are a popular fall winter plant.
Yeah.
It gives you some color. I like to plant these, say, by the front door, somewhere it's highly visible.
Oh, yeah.
Because it really put on a good show.
And nice
actually,
and welcoming,
the plants are starting to, the color is starting to come in on them, too, right now. So they, with both colorful and long-lasting in the landscape, while many others, and mums and things, will kind of lose their flower and interest in when it gets colder,
mm-hmm.
they just kind of hang on. They look pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they do like good soil, of course, and a good amount of moisture if it's going to get really cold.
Uh-huh.
So if it looks like it's going to get down to like 500 below zero.
Huh.
For 10 weeks, like I did this,
I did it for 2 weeks last year.
Last winter, yeah. You might want to make sure they're irrigated real well so they can tolerate the cold. But I like these; they're available in a red color, and a white color, and kind of a purplish color too. And the foliage, when you plant them, they're just kind of green. You know, they're not nondescript. But when the weather cools down, it's when they really start to do their thing.
Yeah.
And I noticed yesterday in walking up in and out of the building there that. They're starting to exhibit some color. So I think it's not only the temperature of the day, but it's the length of day that causes them to change colors too. So that's one of the hallmarks of the fall season, or the flowering kale and the flowering cabbage. So I wouldn't plant a whole lot of it, just a few of them here and there, just to give you some interest, some difference, texture and color in the landscape. Pretty good plants. Okay. Roses right now, my knockouts are starting to bloom. About 2 months ago, I just whacked them back to nothing. Poor things.
You knocked them out?
I just said, hey, you ugly. And I cut them back really low. And they've come back really nice. And also in the spring, what's going to happen is they've already been pruned back, so I don't have to do that in the spring. But they'll have plenty of tip growth on them.
Yep.
to put on the good heavy blossom show in the spring. Mm-hmm. So so August is a really good time to cut back mm-hmm. your knockout roses and things like that. So if you haven't done it yet, well, you kind of missed the boat. But
there's always Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they'll be ready for spring. So you want to wait a little while to cut them back. Because if you cut them back too late, they're going to have a lot of tender growth going mm-hmm. into the winter, and you're going to get some dieback. And when that vascular tissue collapses, it invites diseases and things in there, and then it causes problems.
Don't want
problems. So you want them to be good and hardened off for the winter. That's why we cut them back in August. So anyway, they're starting to bloom real nice, too. So that's kind of along with the roses. The hummingbirds, I think they've flown the coop. I haven't seen any hummingbirds. We
for
used to have clouds of them in our backyard, but they're gone now. So they've all migrated away. The monarch butterflies are on their way out, too. They're
heading down to Mexico.
Yeah, I saw one with a little bag behind it.
Gone fishing.
Carrying a little suitcase underneath his legs and head on south. So anyway, but it's still, it's a good idea to have, for the ones that are migrating from the north, it's a good idea to still have your flowers out for them.
Give them a little bite for the ride.
I think I haven't seen any visitors on the hummingbird feeders
for a while
lately, so I think I'm going to put them away and get them ready for next spring. So, so that's... with that. Boxwoods are a popular plant for people too. And there are several shapes. There's the Green Mountain, which is one of my favorites because you can trim this upright in any shape you want. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do. Winter Gem is just a great big one. Turns into a big blob in your landscape, so give it lots of room. We got a color?
Yep. Let's go here to line number 16. And hi, you're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Yes, sir. I have a question concerning the pre-emergence.
Yes.
Does the same thing that kill henbit kill the, I believe it's annual bluegrass?
It should.
That's a small tuft. It's kind of short.
It'll suppress it considerably.
It'll just suppress it?
Well, it suppresses. So suppression is kind of a vague term right there. The pre-emergents suppress all of them, really. You're going to get some that'll get through.
Okay.
So, there's a degrees of suppression. Now, for the bluegrass, you might consider using something for grasses.
Okay.
More geared towards a grass type of pre-emergent herbicide. Yeah, you might want to look at the label on that and see. There is one. Surfland is one that I use at home, and it's pretty effective.
Oh, okay.
So there are a lot of them out there, but prodiamine will be a good one. Prodiamine is a very broad-spectrum pre-emergent herbicide, so it'll do a good job to control it. And you're not going to get it all. Some of it's already sprouted by now, probably.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
So you're not going to get 100% control on it. So you follow up with a post-emergent application, say of some Roundup or something like that, to control those that are up. As long as you do it before the Bermuda grass is growing, it'll selectively remove it without damaging your Bermuda grass.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All righty.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you very much. Let's take another call real quick. Hi, you're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Yes. I have a question about, I've had, when the, okay, it's the... I've been told a lot of times, every time I have to have the Roto-Rooter guy come out, they say there's tree roots in the line.
Right.
And so now we got no trees.
Yeah.
And I'm going, okay, and earlier the city had come out and dug up a tree because they said it was too close to the sewer line.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we've got power lines going across the back of the yard. So I'm wondering what kind of trees and how far, you know, that I could still have a tree, but it's not going to get into my sewer lines or get into the power line.
Right. As far as getting into the sewer line, there's no, not one single tree that will not get into the sewer line. They'll all seek out water and look for you know, resources like that. And as soon as that little root finds that moisture, it's going to say, "Hey guys, come on, let's go." And so no, that there is no tree that will not attack sewer lines. However, if you do want to plant trees, you want to get them about 30 feet away.
All right. With that, we have to take our last break, and it's a minute 36 on the network lines.
In the early 1900s, the world was changing, and the United States was taking its place as the premier industrial and political power in the world. The newest frontier was not the Wild West as much as it was industry and technology. The world was changing around Bartlesville and in Osage County as well during this time. Frank Phillips and his brother L.E. were growing tired of the boom and bust of the oil business and were in the process of selling off their oil leases and making plans to expand their banking business and making Kansas City their headquarters. The Phillips brothers owned lease 185 in Osage County, and by the terms of the lease, if they didn't drill it, they lost it. Well, it wasn't Frank Phillips' nature to walk away from an investment with at least trying, so rather than lose it, they decided to drill for oil, and they drilled 6 dry holes on that lease, and then finally on their 7th try, they hit oil at around 100 barrels a day. Encouraged, they drilled one more just to the west, and on March 22, 1917, Frank Phillips stood on the drilling platform when the earth and all around him began to tremble. The well exploded with a gusher of over 1,000 barrels a day. It has been said that that well was the beginning of Phillips Petroleum Company and therefore the history and legacy of Frank Phillips. Thanks to that well, we still have Willow Rock to remember the West, the oil, and the history of Frank and Jane Phillips. Come visit the past and capture the magic.